2019, the new year, it's coming. And you know, before we know it, I'll be talking about, it's the end of 2019. Have you noticed that? Older I get, the faster it seems to go. Older some of you all get, the faster it seems to go for me too. God says, I make all things new. Every time I touch your life each day, I'll make you new. Amen. Doesn't matter the situation you think you're going into, the situation you believe that you're living in. I want you to know that I am here to make all things new. I'm ready to give you a new beginning. I'm ready to give you a new strength. I'm ready to give you a hope that I hope you will renew within your heart. For the hope that I'm wanting to give you is not new, it's my hope. The hope that I want you to have is the hope that my Father told me to give to you. So Jesus comes so that we might have the hope, so that we might see for ourselves how great and wonderful He is. All things new. The theme for 2019, for our new year, is just as I am. My message today, the title is this: So, how are you? So, how are you? If our theme's going to be just as I am, so how are you? My focus for all of 2019, as it is continually, but sometimes we forget, whoever you are, come as you are whenever you can. Whoever you are, come as you are whenever you can. Now, I will tell you this, that I may wear a suit next year, but it'll probably be during Easter or certain special times. Then again, I may not. It's not in what you wear. It's in who you know who cares. God says, I care for you, whoever you are. Come as you are. Whenever you can. Now I know some people have fussed at me and said, when you say that, they're going to come twice a year. Do you really think me not saying it makes them come any more or less? You see, each individual message that is preached, it is preached to the individuals God planned to hear that message. Now, you may think that, well, I tuned in because of this, that, or the other. Well, I want you to focus on the other. Because God does not take a chance with you. God will not take a chance with your eternal salvation. So that's why He asked, so how are you? How are you? Why would He ask that? Because He loves us. So how are you? Have you ever just asked yourself that question? So how are you? Now I'm not talking about when I talk to you all, I care. When I ask you how are you, how are you doing, I want to hear you grunt or tell me something. How you doing? Well, I'm miserable. Okay, I want to know that you're miserable because I care and I love you. I care. That's why you have my cell number. Call me. When you have a problem. No, you call me anytime. You just might be driving somewhere. You may be having trouble and you say, you know, I want my pastor to pray with me. Call me. I don't care where I am. I'll pray anywhere. Because you see, the Lord says, I want you to be prepared to give an answer on my behalf. Reverend, somebody ask you, you know, where did you get that joy? They expect an answer. And I expect you to tell them. I expect you to tell them the story about me and my relationship with you. When it comes to the end of my time on earth, those who love me may have a chance of being around me. Maybe not. But we'll be together if at all possible. But only one can be there when I leave this body. His name is Jesus. He is the Son of God, and I know Him. And God looks at us and He says, "So, how are you?" And the question that we need to answer in, are you secure in knowing Jesus? Are you secure in knowing Jesus? I know Jesus. Now people say, "You're a name dropper, you better believe it. I know Jesus. I drop that name every chance I get. I know Jesus." If you mention Jesus again, you know, I remember the old pastor telling years ago the story about this church where he had attended. And he said the preacher that day was up and he was preaching up a storm. And there was somebody in the congregation that all of a sudden said, "Praise God, hallelujah." And the preacher got nervous and said he dropped his notes. And he clears his throat and he tries to get himself back together again. And he starts preaching again. And as he's going along, that same gentleman, all of a sudden he said, "Oh, hallelujah, praise God. That was beautiful." And the preacher, shaken again, trying to get himself back together. And he continues to preach. And yes, as you might well know, in one of the statements at the end of it, that gentleman, he stood up and raised his hand and said, "Glory, hallelujah." And the preacher just stopped. And he said, "Sir, you're disrupting the service. You need to be quiet in service." And the gentleman said, "But Pastor, I got the Holy Spirit." And the preacher said, "I don't care what you got, you didn't get it here." And you see, there's where we are. And so many times within our life, the Lord says, "I want you just like you are. I want you the way you are." Well, I got to slick myself up to present myself to the Lord. Don't bother. I don't care all the washing you can do and all the slicking you can do. It ain't going to clean the sin in your life. It's not going to work. So the Lord said, "I want you to come just as you are." Because when you come to me and I say yes to you, when you ask me to come in your heart, I want you to know you are secure in my name. So my whole ministry, my whole life has been focused and tied up in security in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven by which a person can be saved other than that name of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he says, "When you know me, I want you to know you're secure." No, I'm not afraid. I'm really not. I'm not afraid of what comes afterwards because I know who created what comes after. I'm secure in the arms of Christ. All the power that I would ever want surrounds me. All the love that I could ever hope for was placed on that cross, and he knows my name. And I'm secure in him. Listen to Philippians 3, 7 and 8. Apostle Paul says it this way. Now you got to know Paul's background. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Smart. Paul wasn't just smart. Paul was brilliant. And if you didn't believe it, he'd tell you. But he was brilliant, and he really was. He said, "I am a Pharisee of Pharisees." Once Christ touched his heart and he accepted Jesus, he put all of them down, put all of them to shame, because he could quote the scripture of God, and he had the voice of Christ coming through him. So he says it this way, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the name of Christ." Now you pick Jesus, I guarantee you, friends will turn away from you. Those that you thought were your friends will turn their back on you. Listen, folks, there are many church members that will turn their back on you. Not all church members know Jesus. You hear me? Not all church members know Jesus. For the sake of Christ, more than that, listen to him, "I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Said, "I count it all as lost." See, at one point he was quite wealthy, quite well off. And then the people said he messed up. Well, what did he do? He started calling on the name of Jesus. And he lost it. It was taken from him. And you know what Paul's saying here? "I don't care. It's nothing." Well, he gets even rougher on him. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things." I mean, he didn't have anything. Well, he had a lot of knots where they stoned him. A lot of marks where they beat him. He had a lot of broken bones where they hated him. But he said, "I have suffered the loss of all things." Then he says this. Now, you got to know the translation on this, but I'll try to make it as clear to you as I can. "And count them but rubbish." That's the New American Standard Bible translation. But actually, what he is saying here is, "I count them but dung. It's nothing but dung. So that I may gain Christ." I don't know whether you know this or not, but the writers, the translators, cleaned up the language of Scripture quite a bit. So they could even read it in churches. Did you know that? You get back to the old King James, and a lot of it wasn't cleaned up. But you see, Jesus said the world's not clean. When Jesus said it's dung, it's dung. When Jesus talked about the evil of man, he would look at the men and he would say, "Well, you viper, you snake, you fox." Gosh, he's giving them those pet names of animals, wasn't he? Letting them know where they stood. You know why he was telling them that? They were not telling the people the truth. They were making up new laws and regulations, new dress codes, new ways women to wear their hair, new this, new that. And you know what Jesus said? "Whosoever will, let him come." Let him come. Just like they are. Well, they tried to keep the children from him. You don't want those snotty-nosed kids around this person because we're going to put him on a pedestal. And Jesus said, "I came from on high for those children. Leave them alone, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And you adults would do good to follow the children, for their heart is pure." And Christ came with a pure heart. And he says, "Do you know me?" Now, there's a lot of difference between meeting someone and knowing someone. There's a big difference. Oh, yes, I heard the name of Jesus. I heard them preach about Jesus. I heard that. What'd you do with it? I didn't do anything with it. I just told you I heard it. But do you know him? Do you know the one you heard about? Have you met him personally? And when you meet him personally, all the rest is nothing but rubbish, dung of what life can give you. "For I give you peace of mind." Jesus said, "I'm not giving you a peace like the world gives you. No, I'm giving you a peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm giving you godly peace." Did you know that you are the temple of God? It's not this church building. You are the temple. But I want you to understand something about that. Now, you look at our old church in 1948 or when, 47, 48, and it started building this. And you see that we're running a little ragged right now on the outside. Saying, Jesus, the building doesn't have a thing to do with what's on the inside of that. I said the same thing to you because Jesus says, you are the temple. But the temple gets a little ragged. This outside gets to hurting. It's painful. This outside is sinful. It's a human condition. The human nature. And you find yourself stepping and trotting on death itself continually. Misstepping into the ditch of life. That same Christ, when you know Him, He will recognize you in that ditch. You are the temple of God, but God indwells you. Jesus says, I'm in here, Larry Pete. You might mess up, but I don't mess up in here on you. That real you, I got you. This temple is going to go back to the dust. But Larry Pete, I'll never taste dust again. Because you see, I'm secure in knowing Jesus. Secure. I didn't just meet Him. I know Him. He introduced Himself to me. And I said, yes, Lord. But Father, I'm a mess. Yeah. You know, that's the thing about when you're talking to the Lord about your sins. Don't be talking to Him about them if you think He's going to say, oh, no, you're not that bad. Because He's not going to say that. Yeah, you're pretty bad. Yep. Ornery, as a matter of fact. Pretty soon you'll learn. Just sort of stay out of that conversation. Lord, I give it all to You. I trust You. My salvation does not hinge on this outer temple. My salvation does not hinge on whether or not I'm smart enough to stay out of trouble, because I'm not. Satan has every way in the world to trick me, and he does. But Jesus says, I know Him. And when Jesus walks into your life and He says, I know you, I got news for you. Satan takes off. He's been whipped too many times by Jesus. So how are you? Are you committed to grow in Jesus' power in your personal life? Would you quit telling everybody else how they ought to live? Good gracious. This is the nosiest generation I believe I have ever witnessed. Of course, the only generation I ever lived in. Quit telling other people how they ought to dress and how they ought to live, would you? Would you please just keep those kind of opinions to yourself? And appreciate what God's done in your life and appreciate that individual in your life. Can you do that? The Lord said, are you committed to grow in Jesus' power in your own personal life? Or this is what you need to do, Brother Randy. Randy, I have no idea what you need to do. You need to talk to the Lord about it and He'll tell you what you need to do. I'm still trying to deal with me. So that's why the Lord tells me, I want you to grow in My power in your life. I'll take care of all the rest of them, Larry. You walk with Me. You talk with Me. I'll give you the words to preach. I'll give you the words to teach. But I'll do the same thing with them. It's personal to Christ. You're personal. He says, I love you so much. Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20. Listen to Paul again. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of His power for us. You catching it? Who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I want you to grow in My power, says Jesus, not in your own power. Well, we don't have enough power to even keep up with the Energizer Bunny in our life. Jesus said, I want you to grow in my power. What's the power of Christ? His word. His word's the power. You want to make Satan and all the demons flee? Quote Scripture. Use Jesus' words. Always use the word. For in his word is the power. When you feel alone, you remember his word. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be there. No matter where you are, there I am with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never turn my back on you. Whosoever will, let him come. That's a God of love. That's a God of power. And he said, I want you to understand that when you have me and you represent me, there's no power that can bring you down. There's no evil that attacks you that can hold you in its grasp. For I am the Lord thy God. I am that I am, says God. What does that mean? I'm everything you'll all ever need. And then some. I'm all the only name you'll ever need to use. There's no name greater. There's no power greater. But you listen to me now. There's no hug greater. You think you had good hugs? You ain't seen nothing till you have Jesus hug you. And when he hugs you, it's a hug of pure love. It is the gold standard of eternal life. It is the Holy Spirit power of eternal living. It is an everlasting love that's in the everlasting arms of Christ. And he always says, I got you. When you think everyone's turned their back on you, turn to the name where the power is. But Lord, they have all left. What did they all do for me? What did they all do for my word? All? Do you realize they all turned their back on Jesus at the cross? Do you realize that his disciples ran? Do you realize that those who said they followed Jesus refused at that point for fear of their own life to mention the name of Jesus? The one closest to him denied him. And in order to put an exclamation on denying him, they cursed Peter, the apostle. I don't know him. I'm not one of his. But you see, Peter was. He was so sorry that he had said that the scripture says he wept bitterly. He was broken. He was bouncing off that ground. He was so hurting inside. He was empty. And Jesus sent a message to him. And by the way, tell Peter. Oh, the Lord didn't have to say anymore. The Lord remembered his name. I'll tell you right now, that Jew was jumping with joy. You got me? Jesus remembered his name. Jesus wasn't mad at him. Tell Peter what you've seen. I love him. And he felt those arms. So amazing. Because when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, the very ones who ran, rejected, denied, blasphemed the name of Jesus, they were ready to die for him, and they did. But they had no more fear. You know why? Because they knew Jesus. Jesus knew them, and they knew they were secure in the everlasting arms of Christ. Whoever you are, come as you are, whenever you can. And Jesus says, I'll take care of the rest. Commitment. Commitment from God's children. I think I've got it on the screen, do I? Did you? Just as I am 2019, I commit to practice three disciplines. Did I put those on? I want to listen to God through reading His Word. These are disciplines. I want you to get in the habit of it. Gosh, you go to sleep in a habit. That's it, like going to sleep in church. You go to sleep in a habit. Number two, look to God through prayer daily. This is for the new year. Look to God through prayer daily. Lord, I'm in a mess. Number three, live for God. And this is all your pastor's asking of you. I'm not talking about somebody new every week. I want you to invite one person to hear God's word in 2019. One person. I want you to focus just on one person to hear God's word in the coming year. Well, you know, that preacher wants me to do that every day. Well, you better be doing a lot of this every day. Prayer, you want to win? Or you just want to get wealth? Do you know what good is having everything the world offers and you don't have a heart for this world and you can't enjoy it? There'll always be problems, trials, and tribulations, but I want you to know something. I know Jesus. I'm secure in the arms of Jesus. I'm committed to grow through His Word, and I will invite one person. See, when you invite one person, that person accepts Christ. Did you know that that person will invite someone else? Come and hear the word that touched my heart. Come and hear this word about Jesus. And it is up to Jesus. You can't save anybody. You can't get anybody saved. That's not my job as a pastor, as a preacher. My job, your job, tell them about Jesus. I'll tell you the story about Jesus. That's my calling. That's yours. May we keep that calling in the name of Jesus in 2019. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name and give you thanks. And Father, you are the glory. You are the glory of life. Father, we realize that you weren't born from the dust. You were born from above. We, your servants, will return to the dust. But you returned to the throne from whence you came. You started a king. And Father, you will always be the king. We ask your blessing now upon each heart, upon each listener. Touch their life, Father, to know that they can be secure in knowing you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.